Hi there, friend. Welcome to the Carter Report, and thanks so much for joining us today for Focus on Prophecy. This is the third meeting on the Great Antichrist. The Great Antichrist is a power that the Bible tells me arises on the ruins of the Roman Empire, right there in old Europe, that rules the world for 1260 years, and that changes the holy law of God and that persecutes the people of God. Would you like to know who the Antichrist is? Then join me today at the Shrine Auditorium, downtown Los Angeles. Come with me to this great meeting, open up the Word of God, and focus on Bible prophecy as the Spirit of God reveals to us the truth about the Antichrist. Welcome today to the Carter Report, and welcome to Focus on Bible Prophecy.
Prophecy. It's used to peer into the future, but it must be learned from the past. The Carter Report presents Focus on Prophecy. From the Shrine Auditorium in downtown Los Angeles, John Carter unravels the mysteries of Bible prophets and brings modern meaning to this ancient book. And now, John Carter.
I'm going to ask you a question. And this is not a trick question, but I ask it to you, and I want you to respond. Answer me this. Help me out with this. You know, in the days of Jesus and in the days of the apostles? Okay. You know the days of Jesus and the days of the apostles. There was a great city back in those days that ruled over all the earth. A city in the days of Jesus that ruled over the kings of the earth. What was that city? It was the city of Rome. Is there any doubt about that? No doubt at all. The city that reigned over the kings of the earth in the days of Jesus and the apostles was the city of Rome. Now, look, don't come to me and say, I really don't like these conclusions. My friend, they're not my conclusions. I am simply trying to be a mouthpiece for the Lord tonight and show you what the Bible says. Now, all right, the city that reigned over the kings of the earth was what city? City of Rome. Notice Revelation chapter 17, and would you please notice verse 18. Revelation 17, verse 18. And the woman who you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, the Bible says that here is a great city and it reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, tell me this. This city is seated upon how many hills? What do we talk about? The seven hills or what? Now, am I telling you this or are you telling me? The Bible, you know, you're telling me about the seven hills of Rome. All right then, I want you to come now and notice this verse in the same chapter. I want you to notice verse 9. We're told it's a city that reigns over the kings of the earth. And verse 9 says, here is the mind which has wisdom. Now God says, I want to give you wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Now the Bible tells me that here is a European power and all the rest of these amazing points. But then it tells me here is point, what are we up to? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We should have put down, 1260 years. I think we've got everything down here. But we're told here that this is a great city that reigns over the kings of the earth. And that, of course, is the city of Rome. Now, this is only the start of the evidence. Let me give you some more evidence because you need to see this evidence. And it needs to come down into your mind. And you need to see these things and say, yes, I'm going to really think about these things. I want you to come back now to Daniel chapter 7. Come back to Daniel chapter 7, and I think you can find it easily yourself now. Daniel chapter 7, and I want you to notice another verse. I want you to notice verse 20, please. Come back to verse 20. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 20. Daniel 7 and verse 20. Come back there to Daniel 7 and verse 20. It says, and about the 10 horns that were on its head, and about the other horn which came up, before which 3 fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth that spoke pompous words, whose appearance was what? Greater. What does it say? He is, come on, what does it say? It says that he is greater than the others. Now here is the seventh point. Number one, or number seven. Get to number one in a second. Number seven, he is a greater king. Now, I want you to notice the evidence as I put it on the blackboard. And I want you to ask God to help you to work these things out. Number one, this king who comes up in the world is a European king. That's point number one. Did I say it? No, the Bible says it. Number two, it says he comes up after 476 AD. The Bible tells me that he overthrows three European kings. We're told here in point number four that he is different. And the reason he is different is because he's not just a political king, but he sits in the temple of God and he claims to have the power of God. Number five, he rules the world and Europe for 1260 years. This is a power that is tied up somehow with that great city, and he is greater than any other king in the world. Now, people say to me, why do you put up all these charts? Because, my friend, we want you to see it from the Bible, and we want you to see it from history. Now, you say to me tonight, how on earth did all of this happen? How did all of this happen in the church and in the world? Because, obviously, we know what's going on now. How did all of this happen? Now, I'm going to answer this. And what I'm going to tell you now may be some of the most important truths you've ever heard. And when you understand these truths, all of a sudden, the windows of heaven are going to open to you, and things that have been dark in your mind, all of a sudden, you're going to say, I can understand these truths now. I know what I ought to be doing, and I can understand what is going on in the world. You see, come over here. Look over here. The Bible said that Jesus founded his church, and Jesus founded, let me get some chalk. Jesus founded the truth, but then we read about a falling away from the truth. You see, the church started off strong. The church started off preaching the Bible and being interested in people and believing in freedom. But as the years went by, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that the great Christian church fell away from the truth. And strange ideas came into the church that aren't found anywhere in the Bible. And we spoke about some of those two nights back. Some of those strange ideas that came into the church. And those ideas weren't found in the Bible. And what happened was this, that as the church went out to convert the pagans, you know what really happened? The pagans ended up converting them. And all of these strange ideas came into the church. And then something dreadful happened. And I'm going to tell you why you and I need to be on our guard tonight, particularly living here in America. As time went by, as the church fell away from the truth, the church said, we want to get more power and we want to get more converts. And the church became joined to the state. There was a man by the name of Constantine who was the Roman emperor, and he apparently was converted to Christianity. And what happened back in those days was this, that the church took hold of the power of the state. Now, Americans know what I'm talking about when I talk about church and state, because the founding fathers of this nation had an amendment, the First Amendment. And you know what it says, don't you? Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or interfering with the free exercise thereof. The greatness of America, now listen to me. The greatness of America is that America believes that all men have the right to worship God as their conscience tells them to. Now, the tragedy with the Dark Ages was this, and the tragedy with the church that fell away from the truth is that the church said, well, we want you to become Christians. And if you don't become Christians, we're going to persecute you and make you become Christians. And I want to tell you folks something tonight, and I say it as a great warning to you. Listen, religion is never so free as when religion stands on the Word of God, independent to the state. But when the state comes in to support religion and support our institutions, then, my friend, always persecution comes. And this is what happened to that church. As that church fell away from the truth, and as paganism came into the church became a dictatorial system and started to persecute people. And I want to say to you tonight, America's greatest heritage is her belief in freedom of conscience. That every man has the right to believe in God or not to believe in God, and no man has the right to tell you that you ought to do something because the state says you ought to worship in that way. But you see, back here in the Dark Ages, they didn't do it like that. They didn't do it like it. They persecuted people. And I want you to come back now to page 775, 773, Daniel chapter 7. And you and I forget these truths at the peril of our lives and our liberty. Don't forget it. Daniel 7, page 775, Daniel chapter 7, and verse 25. And the prophet goes on to describe the Antichrist system. Daniel 7 and verse 25, it says, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High. He'll say, I can forgive your sins and I stand in the place of God. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High. Now, what I'm going to tell you now is awful. But there was a time, let me put this up here on the blackboard. The Bible says that this power, here is point number 8, this power would persecute. He would persecute. And he felt he was pleasing God when he was persecuting. He felt he was doing the will of God, but he was doing the will of the devil. And the Bible says that power would persecute. And the Bible says that this power, now I've run out of blackboard, but the Bible says this great power, this great counterfeit system of apostate fallen Christianity, the Bible says it would rule for 1260 days or 1260 years. And during that time when this great church was wedded to the state, the persecution of the people of God was a dreadful thing. Historians tell me that during the Dark Ages, churchmen, not communists, not atheists, but churchmen put to death at least 50 million innocent people because they believed in freedom of worship. 50 million people. Do you want to know why America was founded? America was founded by people who wanted to be free. And they wanted to get away from the tyranny of the old world. And they wanted to come here where a man could be free. And when the Pilgrim Fathers came over to this nation, listen to me, when the Pilgrim Fathers came to this nation, they said, we have come to this nation because we believe it is the right of every man to worship God according to the dictates of his conscience. But they were escaping a religious dictatorship that believed in the union of church and state. I hear today on television preachers even in this country, and they ought to know better, shame on them, where they're talking about, we want more power from Washington. We want more power from the state. We want to enforce what the Bible says. The state has got no right to enforce what God has said. God can look after his own truth. God doesn't need men to try to bring about the kingdom of God through political legislation. And I want to tell you folks something tonight. The best place for a preacher to be is not in Washington lobbying for the power of the state. The best place for a preacher to be is behind a pulpit preaching the word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. But I tell you something, the church of the Dark Ages didn't think that. And there was the rack. I have examined the rack. The bloody Iron Virgin. The thumb screws. I've heard in imagination the wail of 50 million innocent people in Spain, in England, in the Netherlands, around the world. And people say, we're going to forget all about that. Well, you forget about it and you won't understand the Bible prophecy. And what has happened in the past will come back on your own heads. He who forgets the past is condemned to repeat what happened in the past. And I want to tell you, God has written these things down so that you and I might be free. Now, Point number 9. Let me write it up. Point number 9. I'm going to run out of blackboard before I run out of points. Point number 9. This power would rule for 1260 years. Then the Bible says he would get a mortal wound. You know, we got 48 feet of blackboard here, but we need about 100 feet, I think. Now, I'm going to come over here again. This is a terrible mess. If you don't understand anything that's written up here, don't worry. Antichrist rules for 3.5 years, for 1260 years. You say, when did this happen? Well, I'm going to tell you some history. In the year 538, the Emperor Justinian made that great organization a great political force. It made that great organization the defender of the faith and the persecutor of heretics. That happened, according to history, in the year... where am I going to put this? Well, it should be in there, you see. But that year was 538 A.D. 538 A.D. by the decree of the Emperor Justinian. If you add the 1260 years onto 538, and that time period right through there from 538 for 1260 years on is the Dark Ages. The noonday of that system was the midnight of the world. America arose to give people opportunities and freedom and to break with the past. And so you add 1260 years under 538 and it brings you through to the year 1798. Now that date is a significant date. God foresaw these things. And you say to me, but John Carter, did anything happen in 1798 after this awful time of persecution, after this time when the church and the state were united together? Did anything happen back there? You better believe it. Come over here to Revelation 13 and verse 3. And now I'm going to come to the climax. Page 1068. Are you still with me, folks? Yeah. Revelation chapter 13. And verse 3, Revelation 13 and verse 3, Revelation 13 verse 3, page 1068, Revelation 13 and verse 3, 1068, and here it describes the Antichrist system again. Notice it in the Word of God, Revelation chapter 13, please notice it, your soul may depend on it. Revelation 13, verse 4, verse 3. I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded. That happened in 1798. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. It says, what are you saying? What does the Bible say when it talks about one of the heads receiving a mortal wound? Now, I'm going to tell you a little history, and you can check it out for yourself. In 1798, General Berthier, one of the mighty generals of Napoleon Bonaparte, marched down into this very city, and that system was overthrown in the year 1798, according to the Word of God that can never fail. Ladies and gentlemen, we are not speculating tonight. We are not telling you tales. We are telling you mighty truth that the God of heaven has put in the Bible so you and I can be saved. And here you have tremendous evidence that there's a God who cares about people. Tremendous evidence. But the text goes on to say, the mortal wound was healed. If I had some space, I'd put it up number 10. The healing of the mortal, the deadly wound. I'm going to tell you in a nutshell what's going to happen. Tomorrow night I'm going to go into it. And then in following lectures, I'm going to talk about the coming world boycott. Listen to me. America and the world is enjoying a little time of peace. It's not going to last. There are going to be tremendous changes politically and religiously. and the great power that has been lying asleep for many, many years is going to come back, and this world is going to face the greatest crisis in the ages, the greatest crisis of the ages. You say to me, you know, that's pretty stirring. What should I do about it? I'll tell you what we should do about it. In this book that I love, the Bible, there are two systems. There's the system of truth, and then there's a counterfeit system. There's the system of the Bible, and there's the system of counterfeit Christianity. There is the system of Christ, and there is the system of Antichrist. And you and I need to make a decision what side we're going to be on. Whether we're going to be on the side of Christ, the person who came down from glory and who died for us on the cross, or else we are going to make a decision that we're going to be on the side of the greatest religious hoax in the history of the human race. Tonight the meeting says this, and I look you in the eye, the meeting says this tonight, Christ or Antichrist. And in the words of the great prophet of old who stood on the banks of the Jordan, the prophet Joshua, I'm going to say to you tonight, who are you going to serve, Christ or Antichrist? And Joshua said, I don't know what you're going to do, when he spoke to the people back there, but he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I want to say tonight, by the grace of God, we ought to send a message home to Christ. By the grace of God, we are going to turn our backs on counterfeit Christianity. We're going to turn our backs on the traditions of men. We're going to turn our backs on a religion that persecutes. And we're going to stand up for Jesus. And we're going to stand up for the truth. So help us, God. And I'm going to ask you to do something now. This is a solemn meeting, and this is a solemn moment. We're dealing tonight not just with time, we're dealing with eternity. We're dealing with the truths of the Word of God. And I want to say to you tonight, there's only one person who can make this real in your mind. I know this is the truth, but there's only one person, and that is the Spirit of God working on our hearts. And I want to ask you tonight, without embarrassing you, how many here tonight will say with me, by the grace of God, I want to stand up for the Lord God of heaven. I want to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, irrespective of my religion. I want to stand up for the Bible. I want to stand up for freedom of speech. I want to stand up for freedom of religion. I want to stand up for the freedom of the gospel. I want to stand for Christ. I want to stand for truth, irrespective of my religion, John Carter. We're not talking tonight about what church I go to. We're talking about where our allegiance is going to be, with Christ or Antichrist. And I'm going to ask you tonight, who'll stand up tonight for Christ? Who'll stand up tonight for the Bible? Would you like to stand up? Stand up tonight for freedom. Stand up tonight for religious freedom. Stand up tonight for the power of Christ. Stand up for the gospel. Stand up for the truth, and keep standing for God. I want you to bow your heads. Our Father, tonight, what a great prophecy. What power is in the Word of God. It's amazing, God, how you foresaw all of this, how you wrote it down in your book. And God, this message tonight has the power of God in it. And as a great audience united, we're standing here tonight, Lord, not standing for a church, but we're standing for Christ, and we're standing for truth. We're standing for the God of heaven. We're standing for our Creator. We're standing for the Bible. We're standing for Christ alone. And God, we've made that decision tonight. And bless us. Give us courage to stand and to keep on standing. We want to worship you. We want to be loyal to you. Keep us in your grace. And in the great crisis, Lord, that is coming upon this world, take us safely through and take us home at last into the kingdom of God, we pray earnestly. And we thank you and we bless you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.